So I want to tell you something that I found out this summer. I found a new sport that I like to do. Okay, it's called pickleball. Why are you laughing? So, pickleball. Anybody play pickleball? All right, thank you. Got a couple of pickleball players in the crowd. I appreciate that. I got introduced to the sport of pickleball by Asher Fisher. Some of you might not know who Asher Fisher is. Let me tell you a little bit about Asher. Asher's a guy who's he's part of our church, been in our church for quite a while. His parents have been coming here for a while. And whenever Asher was born, they needed some babysitting to be done. So my wife started babysitting Asher when he was 2 months old, and Asher's been part of our household and in lots of ways for all of his life. So he's the one that got me introduced to it. It's been pretty cool. So what is pickleball? Pickleball is a game. It's kind of like between tennis and ping pong, okay? So it's played on a court that's about half the size of a tennis court, a little smaller. It's usually played by a group of four. Asher and I only play as singles, so it's just one-on-one, but that just means you run around a lot more than if you would have played with four, playing doubles. So we have a great time playing. Asher and I have been trying to figure, we've been doing things together for all of his life, and we've just been trying to say, what's that next thing for us? And that kind of became pickleball. What makes it work for us is that as a 60-year-old, I have found my competitive match in a 14-year-old. Now, just to be fair and to try to help my ego just a little bit, if Asher were here today, I would have him stand up because he's taller than I am. He has a longer wingspan than me. He's in better shape than I'm in. But he is literally right now in Iceland checking out the Northern Lights with his family, so that's really cool. But as I look into our future, our pickleball future, the way I see it is Asher is only going to get better, and I'm probably not. Just a guess. Well, the game of pickleball, it starts with a serve, similar to like tennis or volleyball or ping pong or something like that. It starts with a serve. But there's a lot that goes into playing this game or games like it even before we ever get to serve that first ball. Things like finding people of like interest who might be interested in playing pickleball with you, and then trying to find a time to play and trying to find a court to play on, working out all those details long before we ever actually get to serve the ball. Well, as you know, we've been in a sermon series here called Love Your Neighbor. And up to this point, we have learned about our call to love our neighbor. We've also learned about our place that God has put us in relative to our neighbor and about praying for our neighbor. All these things can happen before you ever meet your neighbor. But then last week, we did a shift and we started moving into spending time with your neighbor, mainly through hospitality. And today I'd like to focus our attention on serving our neighbor as a way of loving our neighbor. So just like as in pickleball, there's value in learning to improve your serve. All right, good job. Hey, our text for today is found in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. This is a letter written by Peter to the Christians who were scattered around the region. And in the earlier verses of this chapter, Peter goes into the things that the dead in Christ do, those things that we should no longer be a part of when we are believers in Christ. But then in these latter verses, he starts to move into this idea of what we should be doing for those of us who are alive in Christ, and especially how we should function as with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I believe also as not just for in our own context, but also as an example to those outside of the faith. So I want to look at these verses, and I want to do so with our attention on serving. So 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administrating God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Before we go too far, we should probably define what is meant by the word serve. I'm sure you can all have some ideas of that word in your head and different ways it may be used. So let's just go right back to the Greek and let's look at where it says to serve. What would be the Greek word for to serve? Well, it is diakonou. And what it means is to attend to something that serves another's interest. Hear that again. To attend to something that serves another's interest. Or to minister something to someone. This is actually the origin of where we get our word deacon. And I love how our deacons serve others. They do a great job of that, and they live right up to that definition. I'm excited about that. Well, keeping that definition in mind, let me say it one more time. To attend to something that serves another's interest. Let's step into our passage here today. The first thing we see from verse 8 is it says, above all, we are to love deeply. So our serving must come from a place of love. We must serve from a heart of love. Love is the most important thing that we must get out of this. Our series is titled, Love Your Neighbor. And the focus of our first week and every week since has been that love must be a key and our motivation to loving our neighbor. It's got to be the key. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this point since we've been hitting it all week long, but I just want to remind you again about the great commandment. Remember, that's found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 8, where Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Here Jesus takes 613 commands in Scripture and boils them down to two. Love God and love your neighbor. That should give us a pretty great clue on how vital love is to God. We could also read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, and some of you might have remembered this song that goes along with this. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. These are some really strong statements. We cannot truly love apart from God. And if we do not love, then we do not know God. Let that sink into you for a little bit. Well, verse 8 of the text goes on to say about love, saying that it covers a multitude of sins. What does that mean? We know that it was Christ's shed blood and his death on the cross that paid the debt for our sin. We know, of course, that it was the great love of God the Father that sent his Son to that cross for our sins. So what's Peter getting at when he says that, and talking about this and how we should relate to one another, when he's talking about that love covers a multitude of sins? Well, in case you're not aware, you might want to hang on to this. We are all humans, and none of us are perfect. Okay, just wasn't sure if you knew that or not. Just want to make sure we are all aware. We all fail. We're all going to sin. We all have sin. We're going to sin. We We all say something we shouldn't say. We forget to say something we should say, do. You know, it's just we do it all the time. And when this happens, as Christians, brothers and sisters even, sometimes that causes a little bit of heat between us. Sometimes it causes tempers to flare up. But love. Love is different. Love is like, if you have a fire going, love is like removing the oxygen from the fire. It just kind of calms everything back down. That's a really cool thing. When we're dealing, especially with loving our neighbors and how this applies, there's an impact to all of us when sin enters our life and when we're hurt by others. But love can literally dampen that sting of sin. And this is really important when it comes to loving, and especially serving our neighbors. Our not yet friends, or even not yet Christians, may not take to our serving as we hope that they would. But an abundance of love for them can take that sting out of maybe a harsh comment that might come from them, or maybe literally no reaction at all that they have for what you did. That can also sting in its own way. So I just want to challenge you. Remember what 1 Corinthians 13:5 says about love. It says, love is not self-seeking and it keeps no records of wrongs. So don't try to keep a scorecard with your neighbor, all right? Let love just kind of wash that away. That'd be awesome. Well, verse 9 of our text goes on to tell us about how this plays out in our attitude. It says, verse 9 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, last week, Pastor Brett provided a great sermon on practicing hospitality, and he reminded us that hospitality is loving a stranger as family. I love that. I love when he's told us about that last week. So I encourage you to go back to that sermon if you missed it last week, or if you want to dig back into that again about this idea of hospitality. But this verse goes on to highlight the need for us to be sure that our attitude is in check as we love our neighbors and as we're offering hospitality, as well as when we're offering a listening ear or when we're serving or when we're sharing. It's easy for us, for our attitude to get misaligned. For instance, it's easy to get caught up in the self-sacrifice of loving our neighbors, especially when we consider our time investment, maybe our finances that we've invested, the way we put our priorities aside, the fact that they don't always bring back the tools that they borrowed from us. I mean, these are things that actually can get on our nerves. So we have to ask ourselves the question, is my attitude in check? Am I serving in love? Another example of our attitude being misaligned is when we tend to look at our neighbors as projects. When our neighbors become, it only becomes about trying to move them from one place to another, win them over to our side, so to speak. That's not why we're called to love our neighbors. We listen. We serve, we share, because it's the right thing to do. We practice hospitality because we are God's people. We share because God has given to us. We serve because God has gifted us to do so. We love because He first loved us. I'd like to sum up this section by saying that when we serve out of a heart of love, our serving shows that we love. I'm reminded of James chapter 2, and I was thinking about this idea where it talks about faith and works. Familiar with that? The idea of that little kind of argument that goes on. Verse 18 says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. I think we could apply that here. And we could say, show me your love without serving, and I will show you my love by my serving. Well, let's move on to verse 10 for our second point today. And that is that we should be serving in our gifting. Serving in your gifting. Verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We all, as believers, have at least one spiritual gift, and we are to use it for God's purpose. If you don't know what yours is, I want to challenge you to just go online and look up spiritual gift inventory. There's lots of free ones out there. You can do that, and you can find out what your gift is, or maybe your top three. I challenge you to do that. So we all have that. But additionally, we are all wired differently, with various passions and hobbies and experiences and talents. And God created each one of us uniquely and with a purpose. You know, Peter could have provided a list of gifts here in this verse, but instead he leaves that topic very broad and only characterizes the gifts in two categories. And those categories are found in the next verse, in verse 11, as speaking and serving. It says, if anyone speaks or if anyone serves. And I believe that to some extent, we all do that. We all speak and we all serve. Whether or not we consider it our gift, we have influence with our words and our actions. And both should be used for God's mission to love our neighbors. Serving without speaking is difficult. There's ways to do it. There's proper ways where you will opportunities where you can serve without speaking. This might not be one, but if you were to bake some cookies and then go sit them on a neighbor's doorstep and then ring their doorbell and run away, okay, that would be a way to serve without speaking. I'm not recommending that one per se, but it could work. There are other opportunities that are a little bit better for where we can serve without speaking. But for the most part, there is going to be communication that takes place with our serving. Both, it can happen before, during, and after the act of actual service itself. And the more we do that, the more we communicate with our neighbor, and the more we get to know them, the better we'll know how and when to serve them. So I believe we actually all do this already. This is something we already do. And when it's done well, it doesn't even feel like serving. Let me give you an example of that. I want to go back to pickleball. I'm not going to hit any more balls out into the audience. Don't worry. One of the things I love best about playing pickleball with Asher is the fact that I get to serve him by going to his house and picking him up, and driving him to the pickleball court, playing pickleball, and then driving him back home again. But along the way, we talk. We catch up on each other's week. Whether we're driving a car or taking a break in the game, or there's a little bit of trash talk that happens in there too, but we're catching up on each other's week. We love it. We have a great time. We talk about life. We talk about all kinds of things. It's really a wonderful time. I love Asher. I'll be honest. I love this kid. I love spending time with him. And it doesn't feel like I'm serving when I go pick him up and take him to the pickleball court. It just doesn't. We're simply deepening our relationship. And that's what it looks like when it goes well. So when it comes to our gifting, what has been given to us is given for others. We are simply stewards of that which God has entrusted with us. I am convinced that God has called you to love your neighbor. He has not called me to love your neighbor. Okay, some of you are like, wait, aren't we supposed to love everybody? Yes. Okay, but stick with me on a point here. God has called you specifically to love your neighbor specifically. God has called me to love my neighbor. Additionally, God has also, I believe, God has called you to love your neighbor in a way that he has already equipped you to or will equip you to. And if we take it one more step, God has called you to love your neighbor, God has equipped you to love your neighbor, and God has put you in a place and time, a certain place and time to do that. He's done that for me also. If you want to talk about the place and time thing, go back to Pastor James' sermon. That was awesome about this whole theology of place. But you are uniquely placed and equipped to love your neighbor at such a time as this. Additionally, we are not designed to be consumers or hoarders of the wonderful gifts that God gives us and his blessings that he's put upon us. But we are to be servers and givers. Both of those with the same kind of generosity that he has lavished that on us. Well, to illustrate this point about serving in your giftedness, I would actually like to invite David Gustafson to come up here to the front. We're going to talk a little bit about how God has been using him and what God's been doing in him. So let me get you a microphone here, David. Let's welcome David here this morning. Thank you, David. So David, when it comes to loving your neighbor, we like to talk about the neighbor being that person that is near us. And that could be near us where we work, where we live, where we learn, or where we play. We've been talking a lot about this idea of our neighbor being near us where we live. But you have actually stepped into a more practical way of loving a neighbor where you play. And I thought that's just really cool. So I want to go back about a year to how your prayers and your passion kind of aligned and took you to a special conference. Can you tell us a little bit about that conference?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a long, short story, so I'm going to go with the shortest version, which is about a year ago, I came across this announcement about the Nerd Culture Ministry Summit. I'd never heard the phrase Nerd Culture Ministry ever, let alone that they had a summit. Technically, it was the first of its kind. So I thought it was an interesting point to share with others, but God quickly showed me it was a point for me to recognize, and after some conversations and some prayers, I quickly realized that I needed to go to it. And that was just a few weeks after I even heard that it existed. There are many things I learned there, but I wanted to highlight two specific ones. One is they talked about how there is a large and growing population or culture in America that has a high percentage of people who will never step inside a church if the church won't first step inside their world. And second is that God can use my hobbies and interests, such as board games, to reach people that might not be reached any other way.
That is really neat. So God he stirred this passion and then found this outlet that aligned with your ministry of desire, your passion for board games and so forth, and kind of put these together in a really unique way. So in the process of that, you actually joined this group called Love Thy Nerd. I want you to tell us a little bit about what that is, what they do, you're part of that, what do you do in that, so forth.
So Love Thy Nerd Ministries, or LTN for short, one of the biggest things they do is they encourage so-called nerds, such as myself, to reach out to fellow nerds and to feel them encouraged and empowered that it's actually possible to do so, even if you're shy. There's a lot of introverts in that group, let me tell you, myself included.
Including you.
So there's many ways they engage in nerd culture. And one of them being every year they do several different short-term missions trips to game conventions. There's several things they do there, but one of the biggest ways they engage at these conventions is serving game publishers by working in the booths. And through their work there and their ministry, they've created a reputation for this ministry as hardworking, caring Christian servants. That's kind of what they've become known as. And through this reputation, they've opened doors that aren't otherwise opened, and many people have realized that not all Christians are judgmental and aloof. And I've been on a couple of these trips, two of these trips. I'm going on one more coming up later this year. And I've seen firsthand how board games can be a common ground. I won't go off on that tangent, but that's, I'm realizing more and more the churches need to be looking for common grounds to meet those outside of the church. And board games is a real opportunity for that. And in this common ground, people can feel safe, and it can often lead to surprising conversations. One quick example, one of my favorite examples, is one evening, one guy came to me when I was just finishing my shift, and he's like, I'm in a bad mood, can you use a game to cheer me up? So I sat down and taught him a game, and over the next 45 minutes, we played probably about 20 minutes of game, and the entire time, we talked about all kinds of things. We talked about games, we talked about our jobs, we talked about our marriages, we talked about who is this LTN group and what are they doing here. It was just amazing how many things we covered during that time and just over playing a board game. And I have his business card. I've reached out to him since then, and I'm hoping to see him again at future events.
That is really cool. Just the way that you were able to step into that ministry, but then actually have this one-on-one connection with a guy, too, that hopefully you guys will communicate again. That's awesome. But you've also then brought that back home, and you've actually, here at our own church, you've had this desire, and you've had this for a long time. I know you well, and you've had this desire to reach the nerd culture in our own community here. And by doing so, you've actually formed a team, and you've started a group that's aiming in that direction. You started a thing called the Gamer Ministry. So tell us a little bit about that. Like, some practical ways that Gamer Ministry ministers right here in our region.
Yeah, so LTN really made me think about, I knew I'd forget this point. They made me think about the opportunity that we all have to serve our neighbors by engaging in their interests and hobbies and showing them that what matters to them matters to me. One longstanding example here at Emmanuel is the Sportsman's Banquet. So coming out of the summit and going to one of these trips with LTN, we started the Gamer Ministry here at Emmanuel. And it's made up of a team who are excited to serve our neighbors, our nerdy neighbors, by giving them opportunities to connect and opportunities for fellowship. Mm-hmm. One of the primary ways we do that right now is the Nerd Night, which is first and third Monday of every month. We get together and play board games, and on the third Monday, we also played Nerf, running Nerf Wars through the halls of the church. So that's one of the ministries here. Outside the church, we go regularly to one of the local board game stores that has open gaming, so many of us have created friendships there and are finding out some of the needs in the community through those connections. We've also recently went to a Comic-Con a month ago, and we're looking at other local events that we can go to just to connect with fellow nerds, to go to where they are to meet them. And then in December, five of us are going with Love Thy Nerd to game convention in Philadelphia, which is the first one I went to last year with them. And we're very excited to go there and serve alongside each other. And since it's kind of local, we hope we're also going to build some relationships that we can literally take home and continue with in this area as well. So we're very excited about that, and many of you will be reaching out to soon as we raise support for this trip.
So that's neat. So you've actually gone to places locally where the nerd culture tends to get together. You've met people there. You've listened to them. You've talked to them. You've gotten to understand their needs and so forth. And then you've also set something up here, literally at the church, for people to come in, be able to experience that fellowship, be able to be heard, be able just to have good times playing games together and so forth. That's really cool. By the way, when is your next nerd event, the Gamer Ministry event?
So the next Nerd Night is tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
So we'll be playing board games. We'd love to have any of you show up. Bring your neighbors, bring your coworkers, and help us create an opportunity for people to come together and feel like part of community.
Thank you, David. That's awesome. Thanks for your time. Let's appreciate David here. Thank you very much. That is such a cool story he has about how God has used his passions, his uniqueness, to reach out to a community, a culture that many of us would never even think to reach out to, honestly. So I greatly appreciate that. What I also love about what David did is he not only leaned into his own passion for his neighbors through gaming, but he also is bringing others along with him and serving. And I believe that's part of God's equipping. God does that. God brings people along with us at times to help us serve our neighbors. And there can be great value in that because we can share the vision, you know, and inspire one another. We can share the load to help, you know, make it easier for each of us. And it actually falls right in line with what Jesus already did. I mean, when Jesus sent out the 72, he sent them out in pairs, right? So it also gives us an opportunity just to deepen those connections with one another as we serve what we call shoulder to shoulder, working beside someone, serving together. So you can also probably glean from David's comments that this process is not quick. David and I have been talking about this, and we get together on a regular basis. It's been years now. He's already started the Nerf part for a long time ago, and now it's growing into this gamer ministry, but it is not fast. In this whole series, you have heard all the pastors have mentioned something about the Front Yard Mission Conference that happened back in April. And I would like to pass along a comment that was made by Jonathan Weibel at that conference, where he said that the way we should look at loving our neighbor is more like a crock pot than a microwave. Okay, it's probably not going to be fast. It's going to be a slow journey. So don't rush it. Take your time. It's okay. Relationships take time. That's all part of it. Well, a cool thing here at the end of verse 10 is it also says that we are the faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We are the ones who carry and distribute God's grace to our neighbors, and that's going to look different in all the various situations. So I just want to say, serve your neighbor in your gifting. Well, let's move on to our next point. Next point is to serve in the power of God. The beginning of verse 11 says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So the first part of that verse is certainly directed to those of us who preach and teach. But again, this should land on all of us, whether you think it's your gift or not. The words we speak to our neighbors should be ones that come from God. As we've been talking throughout this series, we are conduits of God's love to the world. And our words that we speak and the actions that we do should come from a place of receiving from God and then pouring out to our neighbors. This is why we intentionally soaked in the love of God at Encounter last week. Last Sunday night, we were soaking in God's love that evening before we went into a time of prayer and fasting for our neighbors, receiving so we can pour out. Does this mean you have to have all those words figured out before you talk to your neighbor? Absolutely not. John Sapia. John was a pastor here at Emmanuel back at the turn of the century. That sounds funny to even say that, doesn't it? Back at the turn of the century. Back in 2000, he was a youth pastor here, and I was on staff as a volunteer youth worker at the time. John was called to full-time overseas ministry, and he was leaving the church and was kind of handing the lead of the youth group over to me. And I looked at John, and I said, John, I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know how to do youth ministry. Here's what John said to me. His reply was very simple. He said, just love the kids. The rest of it will work out. Just love the kids. That stuck with me. And I hope if you miss everything else that I say today, I just want you to hang on to this. Just love your neighbor. Just love your neighbor. The second part of that verse there, verse 11, is really good news for us, by the way. We do not have to serve out of our own strength. God provides that strength to us. Not just the strength to serve for the actual task at hand, but also the strength to reshape our lives, to reprioritize, to put things back in a different order so that we can love our neighbors. That takes a lot of strength before we ever get to the point of serving. But God provides that too. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. As a believer, the Holy Spirit has come on you. You have access to that power. God has that for you. Additionally, and don't miss this either, we get the privilege of bringing God's power into our neighbor's situation. It's not just about serving with our muscles. But we carry the Holy Spirit with us to our neighbors. Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China, said this quote, when we work, we work. When we pray, God works. There's power in God, and we get to bring that to the situation. As the Alliance, we say prayer is our primary work. That's what we say to the denomination. So when you know your neighbor's situations, we talked about praying for them long before we ever get to serve them, but if you're in a place where you get to serve them, and more their situation comes up, bring the power of God into that. Bring the power of God into that situation. And I just want to give one more quote from Jonathan Weibel from Front Yard Mission that kind of helps with this idea of bringing God into it. He says, I like this quote, he says, talk to God about your neighbor before you talk to your neighbor about God. I think that's a good reminder for us all. Talk to God about your neighbors before you talk to your neighbors about God. Well, that leads me to our final point here, and that is that we should serve as unto the Lord. Serve as unto the Lord and for his glory. Second part of verse 11 says, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be all the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So this should be obvious, but just to be clear, God gives the love, God gives the gifts, God gives the strength and the power, so God gets the glory. All right? That's how it works. We are just his instruments. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do. He has set us up to do it, but it's for his glory. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as for working on to the Lord. That's what we should be doing. That's our motivation. Do it to God. He gets the praise. We are not in any way to serve our neighbors in any way that we would, with an expectation that we would get praise, that would praise and stroke our own pride. That's not what we're after at all. We're simply stewards of what God has given us. And everything we do goes back to God. Well, we talked a lot about serving our neighbor. I actually have one more final thought, a bonus point, if you will, today, okay? And that is, I want to encourage you to allow your neighbor to serve you. The best way I can explain this is actually just to share what happened with my neighbor and myself. So Gunner's my next door neighbor. He moved in from Colorado about two years ago with his girlfriend and her daughter. Gunner's half my age, and he's trying to get a handle on home ownership and living in Pennsylvania. It's all new to him. Most of our conversations over the past 2 years has been initiated by him, honestly, needing either a tool or some advice from me. I have both, and I like to give them out, especially my advice. I love that. I've helped him with a number of projects along the way, and we've had some really great conversations. I'd love to share all of them with you, but we don't have time for that. So early this year, I was reading a book called The Art of Neighboring. That book, by the way, is available in our lobby. I was reading that book, and I came across this section in The Art of Neighboring called, and that it was titled, The Art of Receiving. I want to try to sum up what hit me out of that whole section in two sentences. So listen to these two sentences. This is what hit me. Consistent, one-sided serving can rob the dignity of the person being served. When the serving is two-way, both sides feel the sense of value, and it builds relationship instead of dependency. Let me read that one more time. Consistent, one-sided serving can rob the dignity of the person being served. When the serving is two-way, both sides feel a sense of value, and it builds relationship instead of dependency. So happened that when I was reading this, was right before Sue and I were getting ready to head to Georgia on a weekend trip to see Matt and Steph. And I needed somebody to take care of my wood stove. I have an outdoor wood stove that needs to be constantly fed. I have a list of people that I call on for that. But when this hit me, I thought, maybe I should ask Gunner. Okay, time out a second. This feels really weird to me, by the way. I just want to be honest about it. It feels like we should be the ones serving everybody else, right? That's what we're doing. This idea of reaching out to let somebody serve me, this was not comfortable for me. If you know me, you'd understand. But I did. What I was reading was really hitting me, and I'm like, this makes sense. So I reached out to Gunner, and I asked him if he would consider doing the wood stove for me. He was excited. It was cool, and the main reason he was so excited, he got to throw wood into a big old fire, which is cool, but that wasn't it. It was because he got to return a favor to me. He actually got to do something for me since I had been helping him so much. A month later, I was faced with a surgery that put me down for 2 weeks. And I went back to Gunner and said, hey, would you be able to take care of my wood stove for the next 2 weeks? He gladly served Sue and I in this way. And during that time, he cared for our wood stove and our relationship deepened. It was cool. This simple, though uncomfortable act, I might say, of allowing a neighbor to serve me has deepened that relationship. There's so much more I could tell you about Gunner. God's working on him, and I do think there's a day when you're going to get to meet him here. So let's love our neighbors through serving our neighbors. Let's start from a heart of love. Let's serve in our gifting. And let's serve in the strength and power provided by God. Let's be sure to give him all the glory. As we come to the close of our service today, I would like to do something for each one of you. I'd like each of you to do something. To take a practical step forward towards loving your neighbor through serving. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want to ask you to get something that you could write on or take notes in. A device, the back of the bulletin, you know, the neighbor's arm, whatever you need where you can write something down. No, don't use a neighbor's arm because this is just for you. Use your own hand if you have to. A place where you can write something down. And I want to lead us through a little time to lead us towards a place of practically serving our neighbor. This is not going to be hard, by the way. This is simple. You're not going to be writing a book. But I do want you to be prepared to do this. So I want to pray into this. And then where can I kind of do this in an attitude of prayer? Eyes wide open. You don't have to worry about what your neighbor's doing because this is about you and God. But eyes wide open. I'm going to walk you through this. I want you to pray into this. We're going to be kind of like praying outside the box. Okay? That's what we're going to do here today. Thinking outside the box. I mean, praying outside the box. So let me start by just praying, opening us up in prayer. God, I pray that you would show up here today in a way that helps us to see, each one of us, to see how we can be used by you to serve our neighbors and to love our neighbors in that way. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to start jotting down things you enjoy doing. Just put down things you enjoy doing. This should be a simple list because this is your list. It could be baking. It could be cleaning. It could be sports. It could be driving a car. It could be reading. It could be writing. It could be building something. What is it for you? Just write down a list of those things. It could be painting. Whatever it might be. Things you enjoy doing. It shouldn't take you long because you should come right to the top of your head. Now, here's what I want to do. I want you to pray this prayer along with me. You don't have to pray it out loud. Just pray this along with me. God, show me something on this list. Highlight something on this list that you would want me to take a step forward with in loving my neighbor by serving. I don't even know what it looks like, God. But put your highlighter on one of these things, I pray. Lord God, we want to be ones who love our neighbors well. And one of those ways we love our neighbors well, is by serving them well. And Lord, you have uniquely gifted and wired each one of us. Lord, I pray that whatever is highlighted across the notepads of this congregation, Lord, that you will lead into next steps. Kind of like you did with David, with his passion for board games and desire to connect with people and created this gamer ministry. Would you do things like that all across this congregation that reaches out all across this region? As we submit to you, as we give what you have given to us back to you, as we put it into use for your service and for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.